They're going to miss you.
I'll give you a moment to move out. Hey, he's gone. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm talking about how God provides for us. Yahweh Jireh is actually the title that I chose because that is the closest to what Abraham used when God tested him. I'm hoping that God will speak through me today to encourage you. I'll be talking about Yahweh Jireh, God provides. I'm going to be talking about Abraham as well. I just told you that. And on top of that, the experience that Carol and I had when we were kind of dealing with cancer. Still are, but mostly when we were in Seattle. I don't know why God has allowed me to do so well in my battle with cancer, especially when I realize that he's called so many others home. I can think of Kimberly's mom, Pam, and Amy's mom, Ruthie, Ivan's mom, Gloria, yeah. Sorry, it's here, but I'm not looking. Gloria just passed a year ago yesterday. So today's kind of close to the Librant family. And I know that others of you are battling with significant losses or things that you're really struggling with, decisions that have to be made and you really don't know what to do or how to do it. I hope that you leave today knowing that God is walking with you and that he gives you just enough at just the right time. So let me pray, and then I'll start again. God, you know that I want everybody here to hear your words and not my words. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if you're going to cause different people to tune out at different times and just tune in when there's something that they need to hear, or if you're going to use your spirit to change my words completely as I speak them. It's all up to you, God. I'm here to serve you, and I just pray that you will use what I've prepared, if it's what you want me to say, to really help encourage everyone that's here today. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for Jesus. He is the one who provides us with the greatest thing we can ever have, and that's forgiveness for our sins, which gives us eternal life with you. God can't be more thankful for anything than I am for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I mean that because Satan tried to trip me up this morning. Will, I'm glad I didn't have to answer your question out loud. How my week's been going. I thought my week was going pretty good, and then this morning I realized I left 2 gallons of milk in the trunk of the car all night, and I wasn't happy. And of course, Satan's using it, you know, like, Chuck, you're a failure, God can't use you. And well, you know what Satan does with stuff like that. So I've asked God to kind of keep him out of here, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, during the spring of 2017, Carol and I learned that I had cancer. It's a blood cancer. It's a leukemia. A lymphoma. That summer, Ivan did a series on the 23rd Psalm. And that, what he said during that, there were some things that really resonated with me and God used during the struggles that we had. And I guess I should say the struggles that I had, I feel, were relatively minor compared to what some people have when they go through cancer. So maybe that made it easier for me, but I think it was really my relationship with God and all the people praying for me that kind of helped that be the case. But anyway, we watched a video as part of that series. And in that video, I think it was Ray Vanderland, but I'm not positive, kind of showed us what the pastures looked like that the shepherds would take the sheep to. And of course, he starts off showing this field of waving grain going back and forth, kind of like what you'd see if we were singing America the Beautiful. And then it kind of faded away and went into what the feeding grounds for the sheep really looked like. And it was dry, desert, rocky ground. And the grass would grow on the moist side of the rocks because that's where the dew would form and drip off into the ground to support the grass. And so it kind of blew my whole perspective that when God provides, he gives us abundance. Because that's not usually what he does. Sometimes he does. But what I picked up on that is God gives us just enough. You know, and that's what the shepherds were doing. They were leading their sheep from tuft of grass to tuft of grass. And so each time they would get enough to eat to keep them going to the next area where they could get grass. Excuse me. God is always providing just what we need. He loves us. He's our daddy. He's always providing what we need. The problem is we don't always see it. Our focus is off. We're focused on our problem rather than the solution that God is presenting. In Seattle, my doctors had a plan, and they had a team. It was, for me, it was called the Violet Team, and that consisted of a physician's assistant and various RNs and on, people that would help you with your diet and counseling. And so this whole team, they had a plan, and that plan was based on what they knew worked. Carol and I had confidence that God was going to use that plan and that I was going to get the transplant that I needed, and that was going to take care of my cancer for at least 10 years. And much of that confidence came from knowing that so many people were praying for us. I mean, I had all my Awana kids praying. I had all my Youth for the Lord kids praying. I had you guys praying, and it really made a difference knowing that. My perspective was short-sighted because I had confidence in the plan, and I figured God was going to use that plan to make me better. I missed that I needed to trust him and not the plan. In Genesis 12, God tells Abraham to leave his people and his country and to follow God to an unknown location. I don't know how that happened. The Bible doesn't tell us he had a dream. The Bible doesn't tell us he had a vision. It just says God tells Abraham to follow me. God doesn't talk to me like that, at least that I've really caught yet. It would be much better if he'd just send me emails, but he doesn't do that. But anyway, God promised that if Abraham followed him, he'd make him into a great nation. So Abraham left his people and his country. He took his family, and he followed God. And again, there was no Shekinah glory that we're told about, so I don't know how Abraham knew where he was going. But he did, and his faith, the faith that he had, earned him a place in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Verse 8 says that by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Well, we know that God provided everything Abraham needed on that journey. There was one point where he and Lot had to split and go different directions because their flocks were so big. So we know God was taking care of them and providing everything. But God still hadn't provided one of the most important things Abraham needed, a son. So Abraham kind of had a choice. He could focus on what God had given him, or he could focus on what God hadn't. I don't know what he did. Okay, that's just a hypothetical out there. Think about it. Abraham and Sarah would have traded, my thought, all their flocks for that son. As the years went by, Sarah remained barren. Sarah and Abraham decided that it was time to go a different way to build their family. and that produced Ishmael. How often do we do that? We know, or we think we know, how God will do something. And Abraham knew that he was going to be the beginning of a nation, so he knew he had a child and Sarah wasn't working, so they tried something else. In my case, I'm going to be healed of cancer. But we think in human terms and we leave out the supernatural. And God is supernatural. So I did it. I had my focus somewhere where it shouldn't have been. And each time that I was told that I had too much cancer in order to qualify for the plan A, I went into a tailspin. I would feel despair and I would wonder, what are you going to do now, God? What's going to happen? And I'll tell you, I wanted to be out of Seattle. I didn't like living in Seattle. I would have rather been home doing the things that I normally do. But everything just kept extending our stay there. I was blessed to have Carol with me. And, I did want to say, my first reaction when I found out that things weren't working were not, wow, God, thanks, we get to try something different. It wasn't, okay? I was so lost at one point that I was focusing on the failure. You know, I think this might have been the second time we were told we'd get good news and then it'd go bad. Or we'd get bad news and then they'd say, oh, we made a mistake, it's really good. And so this happened often enough. And so at one point, I was really in that tailspin and I was focused on the failure. And then God reminded me of something that I knew. You know, that's the thing. See, my focus was off. And I knew because, honestly, I know this verse because I do children's church. And I hated singing in front of the kids, trying to encourage them to sing with me. But this was one of those verses that we sang early on when I first started doing this. And God brought it to my mind as I was walking back to the apartment. And just a little, Joshua was preparing to battle Jericho. He was getting ready to cross the Jordan River, going to Jericho. Moses was dead. Joshua was taking over. God had visited Joshua several times and you know, told him, I've got your back. Don't worry about anything. One time God said, well, he said it several times, but the one verse that I really like is verse number 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that was me. I was terrified. I was discouraged. And I forgot that God was with me right then. And he brought that to me. And I remember walking back to the apartment, just repeating in my head, do not be afraid, God is with me. Do not be afraid, God is with me. And that helped. So I guess what I want to kind of interject here is God has not provided a cure for my cancer yet, but he has provided a cure for my focus and my despair. He never left me, he never did, and he never will, but my fears clouded what I already knew. Well, back to Abraham. In spite of Ishmael, God still loved Abraham and Sarah. He told them that it would be their child that would be the beginning of this new nation that God had promised, but there was still nothing. And then several years later, just before God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham had some visitors, and they said a year from now, Sarah would have her firstborn male, first child. And Sarah heard that, and she laughed. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we doubt that God will keep a promise or answer a prayer? I do. And I'm about to tell you something that I'm kind of ashamed to say. I'm hoping that there's others that are in the same boat and that maybe knowing that I struggle with this, you might too. But how many of us pray that God will heal Mason? But in our heads, we've already thought he won't do it. I do that. I'll pray for a miracle, and I don't know what it is. Is it because I think it's something special for me? God's not going to do it. It's easy to ask God to pray for traveling mercies for Melissa, because how many people travel from here to there without any trouble? You know, so it's easy to have faith that that's going to happen. But for me, it's hard when I ask God to heal someone to really, 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 truly believe that it's going to happen. Can God do it? Of course he can. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that God can heal Mason. There is no doubt in my mind that God can heal me. There is no doubt in my mind that God could touch and heal any one of the people that you're concerned about that are going through a real struggle right now. It's the, is it part of his will? And I think that's part of the handicap that we use, that I use, you know, it's probably not. And so it's not going to happen. I once heard a pastor from Nairobi speaking on the radio, and he said, we under-challenge God with our prayers. Our prayers are anemic and ineffectual. I'm guilty. I know it. I love getting the kids involved in praying because they have such sweet spirits. You know, they don't have the preconceived notions that I have. They know that God can, and I really believe they know that God will. They don't have all this stuff that I've learned growing up, how many times I've prayed for people that something would happen and it didn't happen. Well, back to Abraham. God kept his promise. He told Sarah, or we're told that Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Now, come on, it was impossible. She knew that. Abraham knew it. She's almost 100 years old. God didn't use the conventional method, did he? He could have had that child born 25 years ago. But no, he waited until it was already in their minds that it couldn't be done. So we need to remember that. Just because we give up hope doesn't mean that God has stopped working. He's still working. God has a plan, and that plan is for our benefit, and there is a timeline to that plan. Like I said, he didn't have Isaac born earlier. He waited until a certain time. Anyway, I'll talk more about time later. At the age of 99, Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Abraham was on his way to realizing God's promise at a time when he had given up. There's just no way it could happen. And then one day God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. No. Come on, he waited all this time just to have his firstborn son, and now God is saying, sacrifice him. How can God do that? What about the promise? I don't know what went through Abraham's head. I usually think about how faithful Abraham is. Like, come on, three times in the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews he's mentioned. Three times. I don't think anybody else is mentioned twice. And Abraham is mentioned three times. So I figure, man, he had this. It was no issue for him. He knew it wasn't going to happen. He knew all he had to do was go through the motions and everything was going to be fine. But I don't think that's the case. Don't you think that Abraham felt something was wrong? That he knew he could be slaying his son, his only son, and never see him again? We're told that Abraham set out early the next day in obedience to God. And, of course, he's got Isaac and a few other men with him, and they get so far. And then Abraham and Isaac, they go on further. And we're told that Abraham has the knife and the fire, and he puts the wood for the offering on Isaac's back. And so as they're walking along to this place that God is showing them, Isaac speaks up and he asks the obvious question. Daddy, where's the lamb? You've got the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, God will provide. Did he believe it? I always thought that he did. And then I saw something that kind of makes me have my doubts. Listen to what is said about him in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham realized that God could raise the dead. Now, in order for God to raise the dead, Isaac had to be dead. Now, I don't know how, I'm assuming that the author of this verse got direct information from God about this. I mean, how else could he know what was going through Abraham's mind? But it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Abraham was probably, maybe, I mean, I'm just supposing, like any dad, he's protecting his son and saying, everything's going to be fine, don't worry about it, God's going to provide the lamb, while at the same time he's thinking, I'm going to kill my son. And then God's going to raise him back. So there's faith there that God's going to keep his promise, but Abraham's going to have to do something terrible first. Well, we know that Abraham was stopped by God at just the right time, I might add. And he looked up and he saw the ram that he would sacrifice in place of Isaac. We're told that Abraham named that place Yahweh Jireh. God will provide. That's where the name comes from. That was the first time I could find Jireh used. And I wasn't expecting it to be way back there in Genesis. But we need to remember that. God will provide. Because it isn't true only for the hills of Moriah. It's true right here in Fairbanks. God will provide. We don't know how. We don't know what. Sometimes it's bringing us to our forever home. We don't like thinking about that part, but sometimes it is. Sometimes people are healed only after they die. In fact, all of us are healed from sin after we die. Not forgiven. I mean, we're forgiven now, but we're actually healed from it when we die. Sin no longer. God will always provide. It's hard for us to trust people. We don't know anything about them, usually. We don't have any idea what their history is, and I'm talking about strangers here. But that's not the case with God. We know lots about God, and we know about his love. Story after story in the Bible tells us how God provides and how we can trust for him. He created the world and gave us a wonderful place to live. Beauty everywhere, resources that provide all our basic needs. God provides. Sometimes God waits until we're at the very end before he provides a solution to our problems. Remember the Exodus? Hundreds of thousands of people crossing the desert. God would let them go to the point of rebellion before he gave them water. And then they'd go to the point of a rebellion again before he provided the manna. Do you remember how much manna he provided? Just enough for the day. Just enough for the day. Except on Friday he gave them enough for 2 days. So it was just enough at the right time. Just like the Exodus Israelites, we want it all right now. We want to see Mason stand up here totally healed from his cancer. We want to see the trials that we're facing to just disappear and have the solution fall right into our laps. We want cancer cures. We want good health. We want world harmony. We want financial security. But God gives us just enough in his perfect time. Just enough. And that's all we really need. I'm not sure with our sinful nature that we could really handle more. Sure, God has blessed some of us with excess, but I'm confident that everyone thinks that there is something missing that they need, and they need it now. Well, I think I've talked enough about just enough, and I'd like to come back to the timing thing. As I started preparing this message, God reminded me that he has a plan. So it's not that he provides, but he provides with a plan. Before Abraham could realize God's promise, he had to have the son. In Abraham and Sarah's mind, it was too late for that to happen. And then Genesis 21:2 tells us, you've seen it already, Sarah became pregnant, bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. And then time is kind of mentioned again in Romans 5:6. It makes it clear that God has a plan. Paul wrote, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us." Time. Time. If God had provided a cure for my cancer before I went to Seattle, I would have missed some very important lessons that he had for me. If God had worked out everything for the doctor's plan once I got there, I'd have had the transplant and a chance for a 10-year remission, but then I would have had to give up a wonderful blessing. The transplant would have impacted my life for a year, and I wouldn't have been able to do some of the things that I really enjoy doing. And I was struggling with that. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Many things I wanted to do would have had to wait. But God had a better path that I was totally, totally unaware of. Sure, the future is a bit unknown for me, but there is one thing that I know, just enough at the right time. And I trust that he's going to keep doing that. I don't know for how long. Like I said, sometimes we're called to our forever home. I looked back at my journal that I wrote while I was in Seattle as I was getting ready for today, because I knew that I had experienced a lot of times where I was close to God because of things that I needed or the way that things were going. I'd had a cycle of chemo to kill off some residual cancer, and I was waiting for the results of a special blood test to find out if the cancer was gone or not and we could proceed. So I wrote in my journal, "I'm praying the result is zero or less. So what am I going to do if it isn't? Same as always. God, where's the next place you want me going? He will provide all that Carol and I need. He always has. Sometimes there is an abundance. Sometimes it's just enough. Funny, though, it seems like I'm always closer to him when it's just enough. When I'm looking for that next piece, I'm closer." We would find out that the test showed there was no cancer, but a month later, a different test would show that there was still too much cancer to go with the transplant. So we came back on a new plan, by the way, and it's working perfect so far. I just take a pill twice a day. At the end of that year, I wrote in my journal what I had learned, and I want to share that with you. I have no right to think that God will make me better because of who I am. He will make me better because of who he is. God has continually taught me that his plans are not my plans. I have learned I can't even rely on the doctor's plan. They know what usually happens, but they don't know what will happen to me. They don't have a clue what God is up to. For me to plan what will happen days from now is crazy. I don't know. I can hope, I can expect, but I need to be flexible for what God has. So it all boils down to what I learned last summer. God loves me and cares for me. I don't know which path he will take me on today, but I do know he has already checked it out. That's something we learned from Psalm 23. He will keep me safe. He will look for me if I get lost. He will carry me if I disobey and get hurt. He will always give me just enough to follow him. He will always love me. Because of what he did for me, I will walk with him in his garden, in his paradise, in his zoo, on his farm forever. And that is so true, and it's not just for me. It's true for you, too, if you trust Jesus as your Savior. I'm not unique. God walks with you. He gives you just enough, and his timing is perfect. There's nothing special about me. It's easy to be discouraged when we don't see God working the way we expect. It's easy to be discouraged when it doesn't seem God cares. I hope it helped you to see that I have the same kind of doubt. I hope that you understand that God may not give us all we want, but he will give us enough of what we need. I hope you trust God will always provide just enough at the right time. And I hope that you heard my love for God as I bragged about him, because this is all him and not me. So before I close, I just have a question I want you all to think about, because I know I need to too. Why is it easier to believe that our sins are forgiven and we're going to go to heaven when we die than it is to believe that God can heal someone, or that it is that God will make sure we have all the finances that we need? You know, for me, I'm sure it's true for all of you, we are such sinners, there's times we think we don't even deserve being saved. But God knows we do. He loves us that much. And so why is it easier to believe that God can save us from that with the promise of living in heaven forever, and yet we have so much difficulties believing he's going to give us enough to get through today? Seems crazy. But I'm guilty, okay? So in closing, I'd like to share a verse. It's Luke 12. And I hope that this blesses you. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, I know we always read that in terms of worry, but worry kind of goes hand in hand with trusting God to give us just enough, doesn't it? Because we always worry about something that's about to happen when we should be focused on right now what God's doing for us. So may God bless you all. May you have a good week and enjoy your work out at the camp. I hope it goes well. We'll see you all here next week. Thank you. You're dismissed.